Begin the current daf Masechet Ksubos daf Lamed Ches. Begin at the bottom of daf Lamed Zayin Mabez, two lines up in the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. That is, the previous daf was discussing this primary halacha of what's called Kim Leibed Rab Minei, that one only gets the more severe of two punishments that he's liable for the same act that's happening at the same time. And that is what's known as you can't be Mesa Mishalem. You can't get the death penalty and have to pay the monetary penalty or that violation that too. Now, the Gemara had brought on Amud Beis many different Mesukim that seemed to have been saying the same idea. And therefore, the Gemara asked, why was it necessary to be redundant and say these Pesukim in all these different places? And that the Gemara brought different interpretations for all these Pesukim that they're actually teaching different halachas. Now, the last Pasuk that the Gemara had left off with was a Pasuk in Mayikra. The Pasuk of Yikra, again, seemingly is saying the same idea, where it says, Kol Cherem, Asher Yochem in the Adam, which generally that means, a Cherem means that a person is liable for death. So, Lo Yipad, that a person cannot redeem himself. Again, sounding like the same halacha of that a person can pay his way out of being killed. And that is, as the Gemara said, we know from one of the other Pesukim, we already know that a person can't pay his way, because we already know the halacha that you don't get death and payment. So that this that you're saying that you don't pay when you have the death penalty is obviously saying that you don't pay your way out of it. But that we also know from a different pasuk. So the Gemara says that actually this pasuk is teaching a different halacha. It's teaching regarding someone that's going to be taken to be killed, where his court case has been sealed that he's getting the death penalty, and somebody says regarding him erkoy olai, his erich, which is a certain set amount of money where a person vows to pay that amount of such a person depending on the person's age. And the person, if it's a male or female, that's how much you pay. So that is what the pasuk's teaching, that kol cherem asher yochem in the adam, if a person is liable for death, meaning he's being taken out to be killed, then lo yipada, then there's no redemption, meaning that you don't have to pay for that erich of that person. The Gemara, however, asked, but according to B'chanan ben Akavi, that he actually says in halacha that there is an erich for such a person, because although the person has no damim, he has no monetary value, because he's a dead man, literally in a few minutes, so therefore he has no monetary value, but there is erich, because that doesn't depend on damim, on monetary value. So then according to him, so how are we going to interpret that pasuk? So the Gemara said it's necessary to how it was interpreted in the Braisa, and that in the name of Bishmol ben Noish B'Yich ben Bereka, that he said that you find interestingly that someone that is chayv misa b'dei shemayim could pay his way out of being killed. For example, a shor shenagach, if someone has an ox that gored another person and killed him, so it says in the Torah that the person, the owner of that ox, is liable for death. Now, however, the pasuk does say in Shemais, "Im kreifa yushas alav," that the person could pay his way out of it. He could pay the amount of the how much he caused a monetary loss for the person that was killed. Now, therefore, Shmuel ben Noach ben Berakhah says you would think the same thing is also a person liable for to be killed, not just b'dei shemayim, but in b'dei adam in the courts. That's what the pasuk teaches you. Cher min ha'adam, if a person is liable to be killed by man, then lo yipada. Then he can't pay his way out of it. Now, on that, the conclusion of the Braisa was, and that's where our Gemara will continue now with the question. The Braisa there says, now, I would only know that you can't pay your way out, like you could by B'dei Shemayim, but B'dei Adam you cannot, as only in severe death penalties, which, as the Braisa there explains, meaning Shle Nitna Shigigas L'Kapar, that if one does that sin inadvertently, there's no atonement, there's no Kamachatas to bring. Now, those type of cases are, as Rashi had brought, is when one kidnaps a Jewish person or inflicts a wound in his father, where there's no karis if it was done b'mezid without hasra. Now, a karban chatas of a shaygig is only when there's karis by b'mezid. Now, those you don't have karis, hence there's no shaygig, there's no chatas when you do it b'shaygig. So that's a severe type of a penalty, that there wasn't given any way of atonement for when you do it by mistake, where it's more lenient than if you have an atonement. So maybe only over there are those included in the lo yipada, that a person cannot pay his way out of that type of severe corporal punishment of the courts. But if it's what's called a misakala, where that if you do it b'shagig that you can get away with it, in other words, there's an atonement of a karma chattas, maybe over there actually you could pay your way out of it, just like by misa b'dei shemayim. That's what the Braisa taught, and that's where our Gemara had ended on the previous daf. Tamalem kol cherem, no, that any cherem, any death penalty by b'dei adam of the courts, a person cannot pay his way out of it. Now, that's where our current daf begins, and the Gemara asked a question. But v'loy memela, don't you know that automatically miloisikhu kaifer shamet mina? Don't you know this from, which is a pasuk that the Gemara had brought on the previous daf, where that a person cannot go ahead and pay his way out. He could not pay for to clean the slate as an atonement. Weird that we already know the Leitishka Mamayna Minebetiftere, that a person cannot give money and be exempt from the death penalty. Now, that pasuk is written by Ritzach, by a murderer. Now, a Ritzach is someone that it is Nitne Kapara Lashagagasai. He could have an atonement for what he did when he does it inadvertently, because when someone murders by mistake, there's an atonement, not a karmachatis, but gullus. He goes into exile to the Ari Miklat. And still the pasuk says that he cannot save himself with money. And then the Gemara asks, so kol cherim lomali. Why does Rabbi Shmuel ben Noach Rechem Brikis say that the purpose of the word kol in that pasuk, which we were asking what's the purpose of the whole pasuk? So we explain the purpose of the pasuk. Pasuk is to tell you that although by B'day Shemaim you could pay your way out, like by Shor Shenagach, but you can't pay your way out of B'day Adam. But the question was, what's the word kol for? So that's to tell you that even more lenient death penalties, where there's an atonement for when you do it by mistake, even that we're saying you can't pay your way out of it. That the Gemara is asking, but that we already know from a different pasuk by Ritzeach, where Ritzeach, we say he can't pay his way out of it, and Ritzeach is something that has a kapar for and does a b'shagig, which is galus near miklod. So why do we need kol cherim for? So Amar Rami Bar Chama, he says itzruch, it was necessary. The reason is because we would have thought to say, and we continue on top of Lamechesim and Aleph, that Hani Mili, when did the pasuk say loisikhu kaifer, that you cannot have someone clean the slate by paying his way out of the person that he had murdered, when he kills deliberately, when he wants to get out of the death penalty, that we said that he cannot go ahead and pay his way out of it? That's Heichad the Hargi. We would have thought to say that maybe only when he kills someone deliberately, Derech Aliyah, on his way going up, which is he picks his hand up from behind, where the corollary, when it, if such an act, where if someone would kill someone, when he does a b'shoigig, shaloi nitne shigigasa lekapara. That's a type of a case of murder, when you do it deliberately, that had you done it by mistake, you actually would not have an atonement. There would not be an atonement of gullus in that type of case. And that's because the pasuk says, by the parasha of shaygig, by mistake killing someone, says vayapal, that a person falls, has to be, as the Gemara darshans elsewhere, a way of falling. But if you're doing it going upward, then there's actually no shigas lekapar. And therefore, we could have said, aval hargir derech irida, but actually, if someone kills someone going down, didn't it shigas lekapar, where there, if someone's killing someone deliberately on the way coming down, where had he done that by mistake, there would have been an atonement of gullus, then we would have said, had we not had this pasuk of kol cherim, we would have said actually that by the case of murder, actually he could pay his way out of it. What do you mean could? The pasuk says leisikhu kaifer. No, that led you, the murderer can't pay his way out of it. It's only when he does a derech aliyah. That's a severe penalty where you see that derech aliyah of a murder is something that there's no atonement in the case of shagig. Now that we know from the word of cherim. But I wouldn't know going derech irida. Therefore, you need kamamash malan. That's why you need to have kol cherim to say that even the case of murder going down, where it's nitne shigas lekapara, even that which is a less severe type of a violation, you still cannot have pay your way out of it. But that's only we know from kol, but we wouldn't know it from leisichu kaifer. Now, the Gemara continues to ask on this. Amalei Rava, but Rava said, he said, hamaditana de bechizki nafke. But this halacha, that you're saying we only know from kol cherim, that there's no difference whether you're going up or going down in the murder. Now, that we already know from the Brisa of Bechizkiah, which we had taught in the previous daf. The Tanna Bechizkiah, they taught, based on the Pasuk of the Yikra, that talks about two different elements in the same Pasuk. It talks about Maki Adam, and it talks about Maki Behema, which means that when someone murders a person or kills an animal. Now, therefore, the Brisa of Bechizkiah said that we make the following comparison. Just like when regarding the killing of an animal, there's no difference between shaygig lemezid, whether the person did it by mistake or on purpose, bein miskaven l'shei miskaven, whether he intended to kill this animal or some other animal, bein derech irid or derech aliyah, whether he's going up or whether he's coming down, lepoitrim a moment, to say that, oh, maybe you would exempt him from his liability if it's one of these variables, let's say by mistake or ein miskaven. That's not the case. El lechayv mamon, rather, you're always going to be liable in all situations. So, and that's learned that from somewhere else, of Petzah Tachas Patzah. Now, af makke adum loy tachlik bayin. Therefore, that's what the Brisa of Bechizkiah says, that the same comparison is regarding murdering a person. That there's no difference. Bein shagig lemezid, whether it was done by mistake or deliberately. Bein miskavon l'shein miskavon, whether intentionally or non-intentionally. Bein derech eri l'erech aliyah, whether it was going down, whether it was going up. L'chayev imamen, to think that, oh, maybe in certain situations will make you liable in money, and that we're saying that the absolutism that we find by Makkah Behema, that you're always going to be liable for the money. Same thing happens regarding murder, where we know generally you're exempt from the money because you can't be mace, because a person that kills someone else gets killed himself, and he can't be mace of Mishalem. So therefore, even when he doesn't die, unless he does a Bishogig or one of the other cases, it's Ella Poitre Mamamun. But it's to say that he's always going to be exempt from paying that monetary penalty. And therefore the Gemara's question of Rava is, they said the same thing applies to paying one's way out of the death penalty, that it doesn't make a difference, and it's never possible for one to do that. And therefore, Rava's asking that, why do you need Kol Cherim to tell you what you're saying that we would not have known from Leisichu Kaifer? It's not true. We find clearly that a person is not going to be liable for money. There's no monetary element when someone kills another person. And therefore, that it doesn't make a difference if it's derech ali or derech harida. So how would you have thought to say that that you could have a monetary payment over here and then pay your way out of it, or to have both? We see clearly that there's never going to be a monetary payment. Now Rashi points out one thing, that the pasuk of Valoyia Asain, Anish Ya'anish, which is brought on the previous brayso, that a person is not maced or mishalem, that was necessary. In other words, even with Rabbah's question, where it's seemingly from this comparison of Makkah Behema to Makkah Adam, so you see in all situations he's going to be exempt from money, so why do you need Veloyia Asin, which tells you that when there's mace, then there's no mishalem. The reason is because if we only knew this halacha from this hekesh that the brayso Bechizki is bringing, then we would have thought actually that the hekesh would be to the other extreme. And we would have said that just like Makkah Behema, you always pay, so to Makkah Adam, you would always pay. So you need Veloyia Asin, Anish Anish, to say that only when there's no capital punishment, when there's no fatality, then he has to pay money. But when there is of a capital punishment, then he's not going to pay money. And that's what we say, the absolutism that we find over there by Makkah Behema, that you're always chayiv. So here, as we find sometimes, that you're not going to be chayiv, so you're never going to be chayiv. Now that we see that there's no difference between Derech Aliyah and Derech Yerida, so that ultimately is Rabbi's question, that why would we need to have this call of Cherem if we already see from Leisichu Kaifer that that's going to be an absolute in all situations. So Ella Amar Rama Bachama, rather Rama Bachama says, Itzrich, that it was necessary to have one of these two psukim that we were mentioning, that to say that you're actually not going to do both punishments. Now, although seemingly that already we know from the previous daf of Lebeloyi Asin, that is, we know that you cannot get the monetary penalty if you're going to have corporal punishment. And that the Gemara says that Solka da Techamina, I would have thought to say that Hanamila, when did we say that a person does not get both penalties? That's Hecha de Sima es Einoi v'Hargubai. That's only if somebody blinded someone's eye, and with that same wound, by blinding him, he also killed him through the eyes, which are very much connected with the person's life. But if someone blinded someone in the eye and killed them at the same time with a different wound, then maybe we would have thought to say that you do collect the monetary besides giving the person corporal punishment, and that is, you should punish him for the value of the eye, and he gets killed because of the murder. That's why we needed the pasuk. So although we know from Leisichu Kaifer that will be in all situations, he can't pay his way out. And we also know from Veloyia Asin that a person will always not be Mason Mishalim. So what was the necessity of the psukim that we brought down before, for example, Kol Cherim? So that the Gemara's answering that we would not have known another element of halacha, which is this idea of Mason Mishalim is not only through that same act, but even a different act. If it happens at the same time, then the person is still going to be exempt. So that Amalei Rava, the Gemara still continues asking, but this halacha of where if he blinds him and he kills him through that same act of blinding, you can't say that that's the pasuk of Veloyia Asin, because that nami mi'idach turned Bechizkia nafke. That you know from a different limud from the Brisa Bechizkia, that you don't punish him with both. So therefore, if we know that from somewhere else, it must be Veloyia Asin is telling you even if it's through a different act. So I wouldn't need to have one of the two psukim that we brought before to say that that's where we're learning it from. Obviously that it must be teaching us something else. The turn of Bechizkiah, we learn in the verse of Chizkiah, Pasuk says in Shemais, Ayin tachas ayin, an eye for an eye. Now the limit is, V'loy ayin v'nefesh tachas ayin, but not an eye and a life in place of the eye that was taken out. Now, actually, Rashi says that we learn from this drasha in Perek HaChevel that eye for an eye does not literally mean an eye. And the reason is because if it literally meant taking out someone's eye because of the other person's eye that he damaged, then maybe as we're blinding him, this person, he's going to die. Now, then it's going to come out to be an ayin v'nefesh tachas ayin, and that we don't do. It has to be literally an eye for an eye. Now, although that's what the drasha is used for there in HaChevel, but one thing that we see from that is that we don't do both, because if it's going to come out to be ayin v'nefesh, and that's not what we want. So therefore, that doesn't make a difference whether it was through that same wound or through something else, again, as we said, because that we know from lo ya'asin. So we're back to the question, what is the purpose of this kol cheirim? It cannot be teaching us the halacha that the Gemara had originally assumed to say, that we would only know it if you're going up, not going down, because that we know from Makkah Behema. It cannot be teaching either this halacha of that maybe it's only from the same act but not from a different act, because that we know already from the combine of ayin tachas ayin and v'lo ye'asin. So Elam or Rashi, rather Rashi says itzrach. No, you need to have this drasha of kol cheirim. And the reason is because sagat et chamina, we would have thought to say, hayil v'chidish u'shechidshah Torah b'knas, since by every payment of a penalty, that's not real justice. It's just a decree of the king, of all kings, of Hashem. And the reason is because it's a novelty to say that there's a penalty, meaning this is not something that you're paying for, that you damage. It's just a penalty that was instituted from Hashem. So maybe we would say that Avagav demiktal mishalim, that even if the person's getting killed, that he would pay. You're right. You already know from other psukim, from lo ya'asin, that you cannot have the death penalty and pay. But we would have thought to say that in place of where there's a knas, that then you actually would die and pay the knas. Kamash Malan, that's why we needed one of those two psukim that we mentioned before, that if it's not coming to teach us halacha regarding money, because again, that we already know already that you're not Mesa Mishalim, so that to say that it'll apply even to knas, to say that you won't be even Mesa Mishalim even by knas, because there we would have thought that maybe you would be Mesa Mishalim. And that's why, again, we need to have, as we said, kol cheirim, and or one of the other psukim to teach us this. One is going to tell you money, and the other one's going to tell you kenas. Because we asked, what do you need kol cheirim for? Already know it from leisichu kafir. So we're saying, you're right. They're both saying the same idea. But it's that one is telling you the halacha of mammon, that you're not meis mishalim, and one's telling you a kenas, that neither there are you meis mishalim. Now, the Gemara asked, but ula rabba da amachidish rishachit shatar b'kenas. But according to Rabbah, that actually we quoted in the previous daf, that he actually holds that kenas is a chidush. And therefore, he says, "Avagav the miktam hasham." Even if the person is going to die, they'll still have to pay the knas. So, hay kol cheirim, my overlay. According to him, what do you do with this pasuk kol cheirim? This pasuk that we finally concluded that the reason why you need it, even though we already know from other psukim where the Gemara had brought that, let's say by Ritzeach or by v'lo ya'asin, by the pregnant woman of the Dmei Vladis, we have a pasuk that tells you that mammon and misa you don't pay, and then we said, but kol cheirim is teaching you that even by knas, but according to him, actually, you can't say that it's teaching you kol cheirim, that you're not going to be mesa mishalim by knas, because he holds actually that you are mesa mishalim by knas. So therefore, the Gemara concludes, according to Rabbah, you have to say that savla ketana kama de Reb Chanani ben Yakabe. You would have to say that he holds like the Tana Kama of Reb Chanani ben Yakabe, who he expounded as we brought in the previous daf, where the pasuk of kol cheirim is teaching you a different halacha. We're teaching you that if someone says arkay, of someone that's going to be taken out to be killed, or lie, that then whenever he's taking kol cheirim asheyachem min ha'adam, that's going to be killed, lo yipadeh, he doesn't have to pay that neder that he made. And that makes sense of what the pasuk kol cheirim is coming to teach. And the reason is because the whole questioning that we were having, which was what was the purpose of kol cheirim coming to teach us, only started by, if you hold like Reb Chanani ben Akavya, that he held in that you can't say that the pasuk kol cheirim is teaching you arkay alive, because he holds actually that you would have to pay the erech. The whole question started was because Reb Chanani ben Akavya has to hold like the Brisa of Shmuel ben Noach b'Yechim ben Bereka, who he interprets the pasuk of kol cheirim asheyachem and adam teaching regarding that one cannot go ahead and pay his way out of the death penalty, where we said that it's not only by Mis Chamuris, but Kol Cheim, the Kol teaches even by Mises Kalis. And that the question was, but that we already know from somewhere else, where we know from Ritzach. And then that the Gemara then tempted to say, oh, but that we would only think Derech Aliyah, who said Derech Arida? And that the Gemara had answered, no, we know that there's no difference between Derech Aliyah and Derech Arida from a different Drash of Makkah, the Makkah Behemah. So then the Gemara attempted to say, okay, so maybe it's coming that the Kol Chayim would be teaching regarding, or the other pasuk, as Rashi keeps on saying, it's not clear which one it is, but one of them would be teaching. The extra one would say that it's if it's through a different makkah, and that the Gemara says no, you know that from different sukkim either. You know that from ayin tachas ayin and below yasin. So that the conclusion was that it's teaching us that even though it's a kenas, but then the Gemara said according to Rabbi the whole kenas actually would be mesim b'shalom. So what is Kol Chayim teaching you? And that the Gemara says you're right. Obviously, it's not like this whole line of questioning of this amid, which would only be going like Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya. He would hold like the Tanna Kama Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, which is that the whole pasuk Kol Chayim is teaching us a totally different halacha regarding someone that takes the erich of a person that's being taken out to kill, that lo yipada, he doesn't have to pay that neder. Now the Gemara continues to the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, is of the knas, that a ma'anis, a man who violates a woman, has to pay for her. So the Mishnah says, nairish in this arsa v'in this garsha. Regarding a naira, who's between the ages of 12 and 12 and a half approximately, that was engaged and then divorced. Now Rashi explains the reason why it has to be talking about that she was engaged and then divorced is because if she was engaged and never divorced, then actually there would be a chiv misa because she's considered an eishes ish, a married woman, by having halachic kedushin, and therefore there wouldn't be any knas because you're not mesim b'shalom. Moreover, it has to be talking about that she was only engaged and then divorced, not married and divorced, because if she was married, then she consummated a relationship and therefore she's not a besul anymore. And the whole halacha of the ma'anis only applies if she's a besula. So regarding such a case, that she was engaged and divorced, basically, says, such a woman that's later violated by a man does not get the penalty from him. And the Gemara will explain the reasoning for this. Now, Rashi just points out that the first Mishnah of our Perek that says regarding Eishes Achiv and Eishes Achi Aviv, where, as we explained over there, has to be talking about that she's engaged and then divorced, because if she was married, then obviously she wouldn't be Basula, but moreover, she has to be divorced because if she would be married, there would be an Issa of Eishes Ish, and yet still the Mishnah there says, Yesh Lehen Knas, obviously that's not like Rabbi Yisya Glili, rather, it was saying like the next opinion of a Mishnah, which is Rabbi Kiva Emer, he says, Yesh Lo Knas, that there is a penalty for such a woman, even though she was engaged and then divorced. And V'Knas La'atzma, however, although generally the Knas of Ma'anis goes to the father, here it's going to go to the girl herself. So Gemara explains these two opinions. The Gemara asks, my time to Rabbi Yisya Glili, what's the reason of his opinion that when a woman was engaged and then divorced, although she's a Nara and she's a Basula, but she's not going to get the collection of the 50 coins from the Ma'anis? So the reason is, very simply, Amakra, the Pasuk says in Sefer Devarim, in Perichav Beis, Pasuk Chav Ches, where the Pasuk there begins, Kiimse Ish Nara Basula, if a man will find a woman that's a Nara, which means to say that she's 12, between 12 and 12 and a half, and she's a Basula, and the Pasuk says, Ashaloi Oirasa, that she's not engaged. Now, the Pasuk there ends with Svasa Vashachavima. Now, if he grabs her and he lays with her, he rapes her, so then he has to give the Knas of 50 silver coins. Now, the inference is, Oirasa Imla Knas, but if she's engaged, then she doesn't get a Knas, because the Pasuk says, Ashaloi Oirasa, that she's not engaged. Now, Rabbi Kiva, he darshans the Pasuk differently. He says, Ashaloi Oirasa, that she's not engaged. Then the Pasuk saying that then is when La'avia. The Pasuk that says that the Mi'anis gives a knas for a woman that he violates who was not engaged, then the Pasuk says, who does he give the knas? He gives it to the father. But the inference is Ha'irasa, but if she was engaged, then it's not that there's no knas, but then it's La'atma. Then it just goes to herself. That's the way he learns the Pasuk. Now, that's the Gemara asks Elamiat. If that's the case, that according to Rabbi Kiva, that's the interpretation. But then this that it says in the Pasuk that we just quoted, Nara, where she has to be a Nara, which that exclusively begeres, if she's over 12 and a half, then she doesn't get the Knas. Why? Hachanami, here also you shouldn't totally exclude such a woman from the Knas, and rather you should darshan that when she's a Nara, it goes to her father. But when she's a begeres, it's Dile Atzma, then it goes to herself. But the problem is, as Rashi points out, we don't find any Tana anywhere that mentions that a begeres gets a knas and that we should say it's going like Rabbi Kiva. Similarly, when it says in the Torah that she has to be besula, but v'lei ba'ula, but she can't be a woman that already had bia, we should say, hachanami de la asma, that yes, no, it doesn't mean she doesn't get the knas. It means the father doesn't get the knas, but it goes to herself. But again, we don't find anywhere, anyone that says that a woman that's a ba'ula gets the knas. Ela legamri. Obviously, so therefore, what do we see that when we make the drasha of nara and nara begeris and besul nara beula, it means totally that you're removed from that. That there's no kenas whatsoever. Not just not to the father, but to her. But there's no kenas. So achanami legamri. So the Gemara is asking here also. We should say when it says hashaloi rasa, that it's only if she wasn't engaged, it should be totally like Rabbi Yossi says, that there's no knas whatsoever. Why does he say it's somewhere in the middle that no, it just means that the father doesn't get it, but that she does get it? So Amalek HaBekiva, Bekiva would tell you that Hai Loi Ayrasa, this, when the qualification of the pasuk says that she wasn't engaged, actually, there is no mirdeh whatsoever. Because it's a good question. Why should we go halfway and say, oh, it's just not that it doesn't go to the father, but it goes to her. He says, you're right. That's a good question. As we find by Besula and we find by Nara. It's just that he says that Mibayli Likatanya, actually, you can't use it to exclude a woman that was engaged to say that it doesn't go to, that they don't get it whatsoever, because you need it for a different halacha. As we learn in the Brisa. The Brisa says, Ashaloya Rasa. It says in the Pasuk that regarding a man that rapes a woman that was not engaged, so prat lenarish in this arsav in this garsha, that excludes a naira that was engaged and then divorced. Shein leknas, that she does not get the knas. That's the Rabbi Yosef. Lily, as he says in our Mishnah. Rabbi Kiva oy me yesh leknas. Rabbi Kiva says, as he says in our Mishnah, that there is a knas for such a woman. Uknasa la avia. And the penalty goes to her father. Now, the Gemara later on will point out this obviously is a contradiction in Rabbi Kiva's opinion. Both of them, in the Brice and the Mishnah, are saying that she gets a knas, but in the Mishnah, he said that the knas goes to herself. Here in the Brisa, he's saying it's actually like a regular naira, even if she was engaged, it goes to her father. Now, Vahadin Naisen, Rekiba says, and it makes sense to say this, that even if she was engaged once, but if she's still a naira, then actually there will be a knas, and the knas will go to her father. Why is that? Because Hayova via Zaka Bekesav Kiddushaha, since the father, he gets the rights, he merits the money of when his daughter gets engaged. Where when she's a Nara, as the Gemara points out in Perek Narish and the Spatan, and later on Daf Mem Vav and Beis, that the father gets the Kesef Kedusha. And we also know, Vavia Zaka B'Kesef Kenasa, as it says in the Torah, that the father gets the money of the penalty that the violator pays for having violated this woman, the father gets it. Now, if so, we make the following comparison. Ma Kesef Kedusha, just like by the money of Kedushin. Ava Pishonis Arsib Nisgarasha, that even if this girl got engaged and got divorced from someone else, then if she's still a naira, if she gets engaged again to someone else, it's la via, goes to her father. And the reason is because any kedushin when she's a naira goes to her father, because by kedushin there is no mir of ashaloi erasa, as it says over here. So it doesn't make a difference if she was once before engaged or not. It's still going to go to the father. So af kesef kenasa, so we make the comparison so to the money of her knas. Av bishon nisasim niskarash lavia, even though she was engaged in divorce, it goes to her father. Now, but then this is the big question, and this is what's going to answer what we had asked. So imke matam alo mashaloi rasa. So then what is the pasuk teaching? That we're saying that the ma'anis has to give the knas to this nairu besula, that ashaloi rasa, that was not engaged. If we're saying that even if she was engaged, that still the knas will still be there and it will still go to the father. So what is the pasuk excluding when it says ashaloi rasa? So that's why the Gemara brought down this price. So where Kiva explains, he says, because mufna, you're right, this clause, it's superfluous. It's not teaching us anything regarding the halachas of ma'anis. And rather, it's there lahakish lo yivaladin hem en egzereshava. It's there to compare and to learn out from an egzereshava. Because Nemar Khan, it says over here, this term by the parsha of oinis, it says ashaloi rasa, like we mentioned before. Now, v'nem lahalan, it says later on by mefata, which is similar in halachas to someone that forcibly violates or to someone that seduces the woman. It says there in the pasuk in Shemais also the same term ashaloi rasa. Now, therefore, make the following zereshava. Ma kan nun, just like over here by oinis, the pasuk tells how much money we have to pay, which are 50 coins. Aflahal nun, there by mefata, which doesn't say how much it is, it's also 50 coins. Umalahal, just like over there by mefata, we know that it's shkalim that's paid, as it says in the pasuk yishkal. So afkan shkalim here also by oinis, which doesn't say what type of coins, it is also is going to be shkalim. And that is the purpose of the term of ashaloi rasa, and that answers the question that the Gemara had on Rabbi Kiva, where seemingly Rabbi Yosef Lili is correct, because ashaloi rasa is excluding, and you don't go halfway, just like you don't go halfway by naira and by besula. And then Rabbi Kiva is answering, you're right. we wouldn't go halfway, but it's not doing any exclusionary criteria for ma'anis. It's actually just a superfluous verse to compare to mafata, to say gezer shavah, to learn that one from the other. Now, the Gemara asks, Rabbi Kiva, my chazes to asher loy arasa legzer shavah, where did he see fit to say that? No, asher loy arasa does not qualify the halachas of ma'anis. It's superfluous. It's being used as what we know is called mufna, so that we can't ask any questions and refute gzereshav. It's being used there to compare to mafata. And ubesula l'mu'tibu'ula, but the term besula, that she has to be a virgin, that is bedafka. That is necessary for the context of the halachas of ma'anis. And therefore that is excluding, if she already had B once before, that then she won't get a knas. So we continue on, Tamad Beis, the Gemara asks, why don't you say the other way around? Ema besula gzereshav, and maybe say that the woman who was raped by a man does not have to be a basula. And therefore, a ba'ula is not excluded from the knas, and therefore she would get a knas. It's just actually the term basula is a superfluous term to make a gzereshava, where since it says by mefate basula, here also says basula to learn a gzereshava. Vasha loy rasa, and maybe say that the term that if she it has to be that she was not engaged, because maybe that is dafka, and it's pratlan nairish in the sarsav in the skarsha, to exclude a naira that was engaged in divorce, to say that such a woman would not get a knas. How do you know it's the other way around? So I think more answers, mistabra, it makes sense. It's logical to say that ashaloya rasa l'gzereshava, that the term ashaloya rasa is superfluous to learn off of the gzereshava, and therefore to say that even if she was engaged once before, she will still get the knas. And the reason is, sharei nikareba nara besula, because the definition, the character composition that the Torah gives regarding this woman, it calls her that she's a naira, which is a certain age between 12 and 12 and a half, and that she's a basula. Now, that could fit, that type of a person could be even if she was engaged and divorced, because she's a naira basula, as the pasuk tells us, that's what she has to be. But if she's a ba'ula, then you cannot, she doesn't fit into that character description of being a naira basula. And therefore, such a ba'ula will not get a knas. Now, the Gemara asks, but adrava, to the contrary. Maybe say Basula Gzereshava. Maybe say actually Basula is used for Gzereshava and not to exclude a woman that had Bia through Znus. And that's obvious why it has to be through Znus, because if it was through some type of a marriage, then obviously without you already would have been an Arusa before. Maybe say that actually there is a Knas, meaning the woman does get rewarded this Knas, if she's a Ba'ula through Znus before. And the reason is, Shari Nikarba Shaloi Rasa, that because actually, the ba'ula fits into the category of that she was not engaged, because she's a ba'ula, but not through marriage, not through being engaged. It was through znus. In other words, basically what the Gemara is asking is that, yes, there's a description you have to be naira basula, but there's also a description of asher lo rasa, so why is one better than the other? So now the Gemara answers, mistabra, it's logical to say that an arusa, a woman that was just engaged and divorced, that she does get a knas, and that a ba'ula will not get a knas, because ha, a ba'ula, ishtani gufa. Her body has been changed once she had an act of bia. Now, as Rashi explains, so hence, her deficiency, that now that what happened through this, that she was violated through this other man, is not so great, because she didn't have besulim anyway. Now, but vaha, but regarding a woman that was engaged in divorce, la ishtani gufa. You're right, something happened to her, but nothing in her body by getting engaged and divorced. And therefore, by being violated, that is something that really is depreciating in who she is. And therefore, it makes more sense to say that there, such a woman will get a knas, even though she was engaged, but by the ba'ula, that she will not get the knas. So the Gemara has explained Rabbi Kiva's opinion. But the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yisrael Glili, hi svara, this svara, this logic of that there's going to be 50 silver coins of einus that there'll be shkalim, and that when it says kesev yishkal by mefata there'll be 50. Benoli, where does he know this from? In other words, Rabbi Kiva knows it from ashaloya rasa, which is superfluous to use as gzeres shavah to mefata. But Rabbi Yisrael Glili uses the term ashaloya rasa for the context of the halachas of einus. It's not a superfluous term to use as gzeres shavah. He uses it to exclude actually a woman that was engaged. So where does he know this halacha of the comparison of einus and mefata? So I think when it says nafkalim in the Tanya, he learns out from the following brisa. And that is, the pasuk tells us in Shemais that regarding someone that seduces a woman, so it says that in mo'in yemo'in avil asitaloi, that if the father refuses to give his daughter to this man who's seduced his daughter, then kesav yishkol kamar habesulis, that then the seducer has to weigh out these silver coins as is the value of the besulis, which is what he took away by seducing this woman, having being with her. Now the drasha is, shehezeh, it's telling us that the mefata should be kemoyer habesulis, like the value that's given to besulis, which is the explicit amount. Where is it said? How much is the value of besula? It's told to us by an oinus, by someone that violates a woman. It's when he takes away her besulim. So there it says he has to give 50 coins. So that we're learning out that mefata is going to be the same, where it doesn't say the amount. Oh, that we know now from comparing it to oinus, which is the mayer habesulis, that it's also going to be 50. But then, and the comparison works the other way too, that mayer habesulis, that the halacha by oinus will be kezeh, will be like this halacha of mefata, where it says explicitly that it should be yishkol, that it should be shkolim. And that's how we know is this comparison from that pasuk. Now, the Gemara says, so fine, we have resolved this pasuk of Asher lo yarasa for Rabbi Kiva, and we understand his halacha that there could still be a knas of when a woman was engaged in divorce, although the pasuk says that he was not engaged. So on that, the Gemara said that that's not excluding for the context of the parsha Ma'anis. It's a superfluous term just to make gzeira shava to mefata. But however, the Gemara asks, as we alluded to this question before, but you have Kasha Rebbe Kiva, you have a contradiction of Rebbe Kiva, and the Braisa, who says that, okay, so this such a woman gets a knas, but however, it's like it always is, the knas goes to the father, Ad Rebbe Kiva, which contradicts Rebbe Kiva in the Mishnah, who said that, yes, there's a knas, but it goes to herself, not to her father. So the Gemara says, Trei Tanoi, Velib Rebbe Kiva. You're right, it's a Machligish Tanoim in what is Rebbe Kiva's opinion. Our Mishnah holds in Rebbe Kiva, whoever the author of the Mishnah held that it goes to the woman herself. And the town of the Braisa, how the Rebbe Kiva holds, it goes to the father. Now the Gemara asks, Bishlam Rebbe Kiva de Masnitin, makes sense, Rebbe Kiva of the Mishnah, that lo yasi gzeres shava, umafke le lekra mipashte legamri. Now, the gzeres shava, although yes, we're saying that it's superfluous, and therefore it's used as gzeres shava, but ultimately, the pasuk has what's called pashta pshat, literal translation. Now, literally translating the pasuk is telling you that the woman that was once engaged doesn't get the knas. Now, how can you say that even if she was engaged, she will get the knas? So, according to Rebbe Kiva the Mishnah, it makes sense because there is some interpretation for the literal translation of the pasuk. Because the way Rebbe Kiva the Mishnah is translating is that you're right. This halacha of einus, where as we know the whole conglomerate of old halachas, is only going to be ashaloi arasa, only if she was not engaged. But if she was engaged, then it will not go to the father as it normally does. Rather, it will go to herself. But it's not totally like Pasha B'Shat, because Pasha B'Shat would tell us that she doesn't get the Knas at all, like it says the Drasha Besula and Naira. So it's somewhere in the middle. So it's really Mufna for Gzir Shaba, but it's not totally removing it from the literal translation. Now, however, Rashi does point out, now, therefore what we would have to say is, so then if it is Pasha B'Shat, because we're saying that it's being used to tell us the halacha for the context of einus, so then it's not superfluous. So then how do you learn that the gzeir shava? So either Rashi says, because it actually says two times the term ashalei rasa, and one of them would be superfluous to tell us this gzeir shava. Or Rashi says, actually, it's not superfluous, but we don't need it to be superfluous, because the whole point of the superfluosity of it is to say that even if there's a question you would ask, you can't ask questions on the gzeir shava. Here, there's no questions anyway of the gzeir shava to mefata. And therefore, even though it's not superfluous, we could still make a gzeir shava, even though it's being used for the context itself. So again, that makes sense for Rebbe Kiva of the Mishnah. El Rebbe Kiva de Braisa, but according to the version Rebbe Kiva brought in the Braisa, as gzeir shava umafke mipashti legamri. You're basically interpreting a drush, an exposition of this words of Asher Lei Rasa to use it as gzeir shava, which is totally removing it from the literal translation. And that is, you cannot interpret the words of Asher Lei at all in the pasuk, because essentially, according to Rebbe Kiva the Braisa, a woman that was engaged once is the same as a woman that was never engaged. That it not only does she get the knas, but it even goes to her father. So it's totally uprooting the literal translation of the pasuk. Now, how does that work? So Amar Nachman Yitzchak, he says, no, there's a way to sustain the literal translation. Karibe, and that is, you should translate if you want to be able to understand the literal translation of the words for a simple reading, Ashaloi Arusa, to say not Ashaloi Arusa, not that she was not once engaged, but actually that she's not currently engaged, which is excluding a woman that's engaged will not get the knas. That the Gemara asks, Arusa Baskilahi, a woman that's currently engaged, a man that violates her, he gets stoned. And therefore, as Rashi explains, We already know he's not going to pay the knas from the term of the previous daf of Liyi Asen. A person cannot get a death penalty and pay the monetary penalty for the same thing. So I would not need to have this pasuk of Asher Loi Arusa to tell us that he doesn't pay the penalty. So another thing one says, no, Sagat Adachamini, we would have thought to say, since this is a whole novelty, this whole halacha of paying for violating a woman, there's nothing of monetary damage that one could pinpoint and say that this is something that you're paying for. It's not a din, rather it's a knas. And therefore we would have thought to say, Afagaf the Mikdal Mashalim, that even though the person will get the death penalty because she's currently engaged, that still he would pay. So that is what the Gemara is saying. That's the chiddush of Ashaloi Arusa, which that's how we're reading it for the literal translation, of to say that that even if she's currently engaged, you would think maybe that she would get the knas. That's what we're saying, that no, if she's currently engaged, then there's no knas. Now the Gemara asks, but according to Rabbi, that he actually does say that since knas is a chiddush, that Avagav to make the Masham, that even though you do get killed, you actually do pay the knas. So, according to him, how are you going to interpret the literal translation of Ashaloi Arusa, which that doesn't work, and you can't learn either Ashaloi Arusa, because according to him, there's no chiddush in that, because we already know from Loi Asin, because there's no difference between of the to say that, because Ashaloi regarding monetary payment, you're not Mesa Mishalim. And to say that it's, but if she's currently, that she's not getting it, actually Rabbah argues on that. And he says that even if she would be engaged, regarding the chiddush of Mesa Mishalim, you actually would be Mesa Mishalim by Knas. So that the Gemara says, Savala Rabbi Akiva the Masni. So obviously Rabbah has to hold like Rabbi Akiva the Mishnah, where you're right, that the limud, so how are we interpreting Ashalei Arasa, that according to Rabbi Akiva the Mishnah, is that because if she was once engaged, then it's going to tell us that it's not as it normally is to go to the father, but rather it's going to go to herself, because you're right, Rabbah will not work out with Rabbi Akiva of the Braisa, because according to that version, the only way to interpret Ashalei Arus is Ashalei Arusa, but according to Rabbah, there would be no chiddush in saying that you're not Mesa Mishalim, because regarding that halacha, you actually are Mesa Mishalim regarding Knas. So you wouldn't be able to interpret it that it's coming to say that you're not Mesa Mishalim. So must be Hosek Akiva the Mishnah, where it's excluding that it doesn't go to the father, but rather goes to the woman herself. Now, related to this, the Gemara brings Tana Banan in the Braisa. The Braisa says, Knas Salami. Who does the Knas of when a man violates a woman, who does it go to? Now, the Gemara originally assumes that it means by a regular woman that's violated. So the Tana Kama says, La'avi, it goes to the father. The Yeshem La'atma, some say it goes to the woman herself. So the Gemara asks, La'atma, Amai. Why would the Yeshem say it goes to her when the Torah explicitly says it goes to the father? So that Rav Chizdi says, Hacha b'nai rishnis arsa b'nis karsha skin. And here the Bryce is talking about a case of a woman that was once engaged and then divorced. Ukamifligi b'plukta rebekiva de masnit and rebekiva de Bryce. And this is their argument between these two different versions in Rebbe Akiva's opinion of Rebbe Akiva the Mishnah or Rebbe Akiva the Bryce, that when this woman who gets the knas, even though she was once engaged, but does it go to the father or does it go to the woman herself?